Well, to album reviews now. And for your listening delectation this week, we have two albums called Lover, one from Taylor Swift and the other from Noah Gunderson. And we'll consider the latest release from Slater Kenny. I'm joined in studio now by Louise Bruton and Brian Boyd. Louise, we'll go to Taylor Swift first. No end of hype surrounding this new release. It was all hype. She was doing some live thing on YouTube when I turned on YouTube this morning. It's the follow-up to the 2017 Reputations. A release that did very good for anybody else. I think it sold something like 4 million, but for Taylor Swift, not as great as her previous album.
Yeah, Taylor Swift is in that funny position of being one of the biggest superstars in the world. So no matter what she does, it's going to be a wrong move in the eyes of someone else. So even if she's shelling millions of records, it's not enough. But unfortunately, Reputation wasn't a very good album. It was a very much mixed album from a pop star who doesn't know how to handle her new position in the world as one of the biggest superstars. So this album, Lover, is kind of dealing with a lot of the kind of remnants of that mega fame where she kind of battled it out with the likes of Kanye West and Kim Kardashian, Katy Perry, Calvin Harris, massive list of just frenemies, I suppose is the word that she would be kind of using, and kind of focusing with this kind of online hatred that was kind of put towards her. So she is just turning 30, the biggest superstar in the world, and she leads her whole life in front of a captive audience ready to tear apart. And she's also falling in love, falling out of love, and that's everything that's gone into this album. And on top of that, she's kind of balancing this role of being the super squeaky clean pop star, but also being this incredible country songwriter. And we kind of have two albums within one album on Lover.
Okay, well, let's listen to that track, Lover, from Taylor Swift's Lover titled album. That's Lover from Taylor Swift, and I'm with Brian Boyd and Louise Bruton, who've been listening to it. Brian, I thought that was a very tender song.
Yeah, it's not an album. This isn't an album. This is a collection of songs to stream. There's no coherence behind this. There's 18 songs. It does sound like the record company had a committee meeting and said, we want this genre. We'd like you to be in this mood for these couple of songs. For example, one of the songs, she goes back to her country roots. She started off as a country artist, the same as, like, more or less in the same sort of music as Dixie Chicks, before transforming into this pop R&B cultural juggernaut. So there's a country song. There's songs where she has this very annoying habit of picking, as Louise was saying, of picking on imaginary foes on social media and writing songs about them. It sounds catty and bitchy. And then there's a lot of songs, about four or five songs here are about how loved up she is with a new British boyfriend. I'll give it 6 weeks.
So they're talking about she'd marry him with a paper ring.
It sounds beautiful. That's the one to me. So it's to stream. These are songs to stream. The album, this isn't an album by any means. But the problem with her is that she is now. There's a lot of brilliance on here. Her voice, as we just heard there, is incredible. The way she can wrap that voice around certain vocals, her musical stretch is phenomenal. She can handle any sort of genre. She is in trouble, though. I mean, you were talking about how the last album, Reputation, only sold 4 million. Well, whereas routinely previous albums of hers would have sold 15, 20 million. There was the problem about her apolitical stance, particularly during the 2000s.
Yes, what was
US
that? That in 20...
She didn't come out for an anti-Trump candidate. She remained sort of above it all and neutral. And then there was sort of these weird rumours that she was somehow involved with right-wing conservative politics, which they were just rumours. She's since endorsed a few Democratic candidates in the US and has talked about women's rights. But there was a confusion for a number of years.
Track, You Need to Calm Down. I was looking at the video for that, and it's all gay pride flags and...
A bit tokenistic, I felt, a bit box-ticking on her part. And some, actually, LGBT groups have slammed her for that and saying, like, this is just, it's tokenistic and it's too little too late. There's too much, we are putting, society is putting too much on Taylor Swift. She seems to be like the weather vane for every cultural movement. This is an improvement in reputation, but it is certainly not a creative step forward. It seems to be she's in a holding pattern. These 18 songs are very, very good. This will do very well. It will be a series of streams. She hasn't really got into fourth or fifth gear culturally or creatively on this album.
Louise, do you think she's at her strongest when she's writing and performing love songs?
I certainly do. She has, I think, a very phenomenal way of just locking her eyes on the person who's in front of her. So that's kind of where she excels. If it's a love song directly to a person, and of course her British boyfriend, he gets a lot of coverage here. But I think one of the strongest songs in this album is Soon You'll Be Better, which is about visiting her mother in hospital who's battling breast cancer. And it's a very unusual perspective, I think, from a pop song, a child dealing with the potential death of a parent. And it's an incredibly fragile kind of thing to deal with, and she really lets people in to this private world that she lives in, because as kind of Brian is saying, she is in an incredibly unusual position where celebrity kind of hinges upon her creativity. And when she forgets about the glamour and she brings it back to being a human, she's just capable of so many things, and that's exactly what you find in that song.
So we have that track you're talking about, which is the track with the Dixie Chicks, and this is called Soon You'll Be Better from Lover with Taylor Swift.
I just pretend it isn't real. I'll paint the kitchen neon. I'll brighten up the sky. I know I'll never get it. There's not a day that I won't.
So that is Soon You'll Be Better from Lover, and that's Taylor Swift's new album. I was just asking you there, Louise, do you think people are relieved that she's over the reputations, the giving out about Katy Perry or Kanye West or whoever?
Yeah, I think when you listen to music, if you're listening to someone singing about, say, like gold and diamonds, you're like, that's aspirational. But if you're listening to a singer having a petty feud with Kim Kardashian, and it's dragged out to not just one song, but about seven or eight songs, it's tiring. Like, you don't want to hear it. You don't want to be dwelling in someone else's bitterness, especially when it means nothing. It's so vacuous. Like, it's so vacuous. So there is a sense of relief that she's finally kind of draining that out of her system, and she is returning to kind of real issues that are emotions and not celebrity fights.
So, Louise, stars out of five for A Lovers by Taylor Swift.
I'd give it four. If we shaved about five songs off the album, I think it would have been
all
five.
All right. And Brian?
Three
out of five, and four out of five, and that's Lover from Taylor Swift. The second album is Slater Kenny, who have just released their ninth studio album. The Centre Won't Hold is the name of it. And St. Vincent is, who had some involvement, I think, in the Taylor Swift album, has produced, has had a major involvement in this. Brian, who are they? This is their ninth album. They've been going for about 25 years.
They started off in 1994. If you remember the time around in the early 90s and around the Seattle area of the US, the grunge movement exploded in the early 90s. In parallel to the grunge movement, there was a feminist movement called Riot Girl, which was post-punk, pre-grunge, heavy feminist emphasis in the lyrics. It didn't really kick through as a movement so much, but Slater Kinney were very much in the cultural vanguard of the Riot Girl movement. And during the 90s, they were, ironically, what they were singing and shouting about in the 90s are the issues that are now today's headlines. The world seems to have caught up with their politics. They sort of ran out of creative steam a bit. Their sound was always quite limited. They were very powerful live and very powerful, very, very, very powerful with their lyrics and their messages. But they ran out of creative steam, and they've broken up once or twice. They've come back with this album. St. Vincent is this woman is probably the most important musical figure to emerge in the last 10, 15 years. The woman's a genius. You would compare her almost to a female David Byrne of the Talking Heads in terms of her own ability and her ability to work with others. She has worked wonders in this album, whereas before Cedar Kinney were very much a basic heads down, no nonsense, guitar, rock and roll. She has brought she's brought in dreamy synths. She's brought in more dramatic pauses. She's brought in pace. She's brought in more melody. And this is a fantastic album. I would have thought going into this, I thought Cedar Kinney, they went up a creative cul-de-sac a long, long time ago. But this is a very, very strong album.
Okay, let's hear "Hurry On Home" from the album. Cedar Kinney from, and that's "Hurry On Home" from "The Centre Won't Hold." Louise, do you see that St. Vincent touch, Annie Clark effect?
Certainly, she's like St. Vincent is sort of like the rock weirdo of today, like kind of with David Byrne. And they actually did an album together about 6 years ago, and David Byrne said, "There's only one person more unreadable than him, and it's St. Vincent." So she's sort of a force. And when she came in to join Cedar Kinney when they're making this album, the members each said that they pushed her in ways that they never thought was possible for them to themselves. So they were singing in higher registers. They were kind of using different rhythms with their drumming, and just they were challenging themselves creatively. And then, unfortunately, maybe this new turn has led to the departure of their drummer, Janet Weiss, who was with them from the very beginning. So over 25 years of being a member of the band.
And do we know if that was the turning point, that maybe she didn't want this change in style?
Well, her official leaving comment was quite vague, but it was just in terms of this isn't the direction that she was kind of wishing to go with the band. And the whole thing that the album stands for, which is sort of togetherness and womanhood and aging however you want to age, everything that the album kind of stands for just feels like it was kind of put under a bad limelight with Janet's departure. So much so that Carrie Brownstein, one of the members of the band, she said, she's like, "We need women. We need these stories. We need to hear women over the age of 45 and how they talk about life and how they talk about struggles. And we need more all-female bands." And then she was like, "There's hardly any all-female bands left." And then suddenly their trio is now a duo. So it's kind of a complicated time in their lives, but it's a new creative challenge for them because they're still going on tour, and they seem to have this kind of new drive to do something new. And as a duo, I think they're probably going to achieve that.
Do you think it's a huge change in their work, Brian?
Very much so. The problem with them was, I think, whenever you're the figurehead of a movement, and they were the figurehead of the Riot Girl movement, you can coast along on that and go, yeah, great, we're the Riot Girl band and we'll play Riot Girl music and we'll play, there's a Riot Girl tour and a Riot Girl fan base. So I had very low hopes just going in, and I'm glad this is such a fantastic album because they really are doing something different. And it was strange, the contrast with Taylor Swift, because Slater Kinney are singing about things in this album which are directly from today's headlines. They directly affect women in the US today. And then when you move to the Taylor Swift album, she's talking about these sort of imaginary abstract arguments in her head. I found this very real, very direct, very, very interesting musically. Very interesting musically. I think it's a wonderful step. And this is a real sense of how a band can enjoy a life after that crucial cut-off executionary period of being over 40 and being a woman in the music industry.
Well, let's listen. I think you picked this one, Brian. This is "Reach Out." Kenny's "Reach Out" from "The Centre Won't Hold." Louise, what did you think of what Brian said there, that they can dig deep into issues that Taylor Swift just kind of slides over or is more superficial in her approach?
I suppose they're in that nice position of being a band that doesn't have much to lose if they throw out a bold statement. Not that these things are bold statements, but in the pop culture world, if you say something wrong, you can be cancelled is the term.
Yes.
But it is refreshing to hear these things because it's a gritty album. It's like it's blood, sweat, tears and pubic hair. It's the type of thing that you want to hear women in the limelight talking about. These are the private conversations, the private anxieties, and they are giving them life. Like they're giving us kind of license to not feel so alone in our concerns. And it's bold in the way that it can unite someone. So it is great that they are kind of taking these movements. They were taking an underground movement that is now speaking to younger generations because they have a very young female fan base now. So this is probably helping their kind of third, fourth lease of life.
So out of five, Louise?
This would be a strong four. No songs need to be cut.
A strong four. And for you, Brian?
Strong four equally.
Two fours out of five there for Sleater Kenny and The Centre Won't Hold. And so to our third album, which is in fact the second album released today called Lover. It comes from Seattle singer-songwriter Noah Gunderson. Louise, for you, this is a more pensive album than the others that we've been listening to.
Yeah, this is Noah is certainly a man on a journey. It's quite a kind of a fragile look in life. And how the stresses and the worries that we all boil up inside ourselves, that a lot of it kind of doesn't mean nothing if you don't reach out to somebody else.
Tell us a little bit about him, because he has a fascinating background, hasn't he?
He is. So he is actually from Olympian, Washington, which is where Sleater Kinney are also from. So there's a nice crossover between our three albums today. But he came from quite a right-wing fundamentalist household, and he was homeschooled, huge family. I think there was about 8 or 9 children in his family. And then as soon as he could, he moved away to the city and then became the proper lifestyle as a musician. And funnily enough, he didn't hold on to those fundamentalist views as you normally do when you move to the city to become a singer. So he is, I think, just turning 30 or already 30. So a lot of his views and his music, they seem quite fresh-eyed for someone. It's like he's starting life anew in the way that an adult who has been kind of sheltered from the truth as a child. And he's got one song in it called Audrey Hepburn, and it's this thing of needing to fall in love with the right people and the wrong people to kind of discover who you are, just bouncing off the walls and picking up the good, the bad and the ugly, and then figuring it all out from there.
Okay, so and he's gone through quite a recent transformation as well, which we'll talk about once we play the opening track again, and this is Lover. Noah Gunderson there, the title song from his album called Lover. Louise Bruton and Brian Boyd have been listening to our albums this evening. Brian has said there he'd gone through a transformation. He looks completely different and he's been taking some mind-expanding drugs.
He was always this long-haired, sensitive singer-songwriter type, very much from Casting Central. And when he had a breakthrough album, Ledges, in 2014, his world collapsed around him shortly after the Ledges album. Totally collapsed around him. He's referred to just everything, family, finances, love, drugs, everything. It's a remarkable physical transformation which is mirrored in the music. This is why we're talking about it. He shaved off his long hair. He beefed himself up in the gym. He covered himself in tattoos. He went into extensive therapy sessions. We talked earlier about he had a troubled childhood, very fundamentalist parents, almost like growing up in a bunker, a nuclear bunker. And he started taking magic mushrooms, which many artists over the decades have taken as a sort of a gateway to a new form of heightened consciousness. This album is about failure, bitter regret, pain, sadness, sorrow. One of the songs, Robin Williams, is one of the best songs I've heard all year.
Brian, I'm going to have to ask you out of five.
Four.
Four. And Louise, you?
Three for me.
Three. Three and four out of five for Noah Gunderson's Lover. Louise Bruton and Brian Boyd have been listening to Lover, the name of the album from Taylor Swift, and the one we just heard there from Noah Gunderson, and The Centre Won't Hold from Sleater-Kinney.